morning. And what a delight to be here at Eagle's Landing with you. I extend my gratitude to Pastor Tim and certainly the entire Eagle's Landing family for this gracious invitation. It's always good to be here at Eagle's Landing. I've been asked in the past to come and serve and be a part of the services here at this great church, and I have dearly and thoroughly enjoyed it tremendously, my family and I. It's a really, really good place to be. Eagle's Landing is a really good place to be, and I'm awfully, amen. I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you. I would like to share this morning, if you would be patient with me for just for a few moments, and as the Lord has given us a word, and I was in my study last night finalizing my edits for this morning, and certainly my heart became glad as a result of the message that he has prepared for me and for you this morning. So if you would go with me just for a few moments as we are inspired and certainly challenged, encouraged, and reminded of our great relationship with our great Savior. I would like to share contrasting themes, or the contrasting theme of being in trouble and being troubled. There's one of being in trouble, but then there's the other of being troubled. Troubled of the heart, concerned, unable to rest, fearful even, frightful, questionable, skeptical. And then there's one to be in trouble, is to definitively have the capability of placing one's finger on the issue at hand. Growing up, there seemed to always be someone, a parent or some responsible adult even, reminding us to stay out of trouble. And for good reasons. Troubles and its ramifications and its impact on one's life could have even a ripple effect on our outcomes. And so my family, my mother, and some of those responsible adults around me would often emphasize staying out of trouble. No one wants to be in trouble. No one likes trouble. Trouble is not a good word we use a lot in positive light. Stay away from trouble. However, now as I've grown older, I have learned that trouble is not completely avoidable. Try as we might, trouble is a peculiar connotation. Reasons being that it is unavoidable, and I've learned as I've gotten to be an older person that trouble comes in a variety of ways, and one can find himself or herself in one of those variety of ways of trouble. And I submit to you four kinds. This is no exhaustive list, but this is a list of four ways one could find him or herself in trouble. First, there's the kind you put yourself in. It can be self-inflicted even. Something you chose, something we decided upon. And we waken in the morning and we open our eyes and we find that we're in trouble due to personal or one's own initiative. But then there's the second kind, the kind someone else puts you in. And it is an outside force that leads you into trouble. And one finds that through this leading, you following, the end result is that you've stumbled upon this idea or connotation of trouble. No one likes it. And the third kind you could is the kind that you could not avoid. Try as you might. We live in a world in which trouble sometimes is unavoidable. We're going to bump into it. And then lastly is the kind that could not be avoided, or the kind that could not avoid you. That it would find you, it would chase you down, and as a result of it, you and I are wrestling with trouble. It's not a famous or popular subject, but in light of where we are even culturally in our world, and not in the global world just, but in our very neighborhoods, in our very homes and communities, we experience trouble. It's what we do. We either put ourselves in it, someone else led us to it, we could not avoid it, or it could not avoid us. I will emphasize the last two greatly. Nevertheless, it is trouble, and we are in it. I want you to know this morning, Eagles Landing, as a world, we are in trouble. You might have awakened this morning and discovered that you have some trouble. And your conclusions would be that I am in trouble this morning. And it varies, of course. But then we are wondering, how did we get here? As a society, as a world, as individuals, as community people, how did we stumble into this trouble, or it stumbled upon us? And we're wondering this morning, how did we get here? And more importantly, how can we get out of it? How can we get out of this trouble that's either the result of our own choices, either someone else put us in it, or we could not avoid it, or it could not avoid us? Nevertheless, we're in it. We're all in this building dealing with, or we've dealt with, some fashion, form, or kind of trouble. We have. And we're wondering, how did we get here and how did we get out of it? There's a biblical precedent for this and for these four kinds of trouble. And I was in my study thinking through it. And when I searched the scriptures from Old Testament and New Testament, I've discovered that there's biblical precedent for trouble. And our Lord has dealt with trouble pretty emphatically. He has left an encouraging word for us as we deal with and wrestle with this idea of trouble. And so I extracted from the New Testament, the four Gospels, the book of John, John 14, very familiar passage, I'm certain you're aware of that. And it was just interesting. So one example is found in John 14, and even previously Judas, who had betrayed our Lord, and the disciples are hearing Jesus speak to them on these things, and even just previous to that, Peter denies our Lord. Not to mention the knowledge the disciples had of the departure of Jesus. And Jesus is soon to make his exodus, and he's going to be leaving them in a ravished world of depraved culture where there's hatred and there's horrible things, and there's the onslaught against the church, and then there are personal challenges, and he was about to leave. Trouble. Big trouble for these disciples, big trouble for us. And we can go to the news and turn to CNN and turn to the local newscast, and we can see trouble from the time the news is on to the time it goes off. Trouble. I had a friend visit me from Oklahoma, and he sat with me in my home, and we were watching the television, and he's watching the news. He's a highway patrolman. And he said, "My Lord, all of that's local news?" He's from little tiny town in Oklahoma. And he said, "My Lord, I've never seen more stuff happening just in one location." He said to me, "That's trouble." I said, "Yes, it is. Big trouble we're in." And so I had to go farther in my study. When you're in trouble, I believe this. I believe the most important thing you need is comfort from God, reminders, assurances, understanding, clarity is what we need. Because you may be in that trouble for a while. There's no promise or guarantee that things are going to get better anytime soon culturally. It may not get better personally. Things may stay the same for quite a while. So what do I do with this trouble that's found its way to my doorstep and I'm experiencing one of those four kinds of trouble? How do I manage it? What do I do with it? For the disciples, Jesus was the comforting voice and calming presence in their time of trouble. And I can tell you this, if it had not been for the promises of God's word in his scriptures, I would be intimidated by the troubles of this life. I would be afraid for the troubles of this life. If I weren't a believer, and I will emphasize that in just a moment, a follower of Christ, one who believes in God. And if I did not have hope in the scriptures, in God's promised words, I would be terrified over the experiences we are having in our society, our culture, and in my own very personal world. However, I do have him, and I'm certain you do. John 14 said this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." That's what Jesus says to the disciples who are dealing with his exit, with his departure, but they've also experienced great turmoil and heart hurt and disappointment along the way to this point. Now the Messiah, the one who called them to the faith, is leaving them. But Jesus says to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." See, you can be in trouble and not be troubled. And I would argue that everyone in this room has experienced trouble and may very well be in it this morning. So am I. And so Jesus says to the disciples, and he says to you and I know what you saw on the news last night. I know what you read. I know we're having struggles culturally. I know this personal subject and issue in my life has not made its way out yet. It's still here. But Jesus says to those disciples, and he's speaking to you and I in 2016, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. believe also in me. I am leaving, but don't be troubled. I know what you've read, and I know where we are, and I know what happened last week, and I get it, but don't be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You're going to run into some trouble, but don't be troubled. And here's what I argue, is that when the Christian believes in God, it is a big deal, not just a common statement. I don't just believe in God, I believe in God. Because to believe in God is to also believe in the Son. Because the Son is a manifestation of the Father. And the Son is the Word made flesh. And He abides in and through us through the person of the Holy Spirit, leading and guiding our lives. And so when I say I believe in God, I don't just say I believe in God, but I believe in the power of God. I believe in the resurrection of God. I believe in the empty tomb. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in His blood. I believe that He was baptized by John. Listen, I believe those things, and you know what? No trouble will change it. I got to thinking, years ago I believed it. Placed my faith in Him. And all these years later, irregardless of the constant changing of our society and some of the most unfortunate experiences we get to witness, when one believes in God, we're not troubled by it. And here's the reality. The scriptures would not be true if there wasn't going to be trouble. I'll defend it in just a moment. God would cease to be God. He would be a liar if His prophetic truth didn't exist in scripture, and it's playing itself out culturally. It's playing itself out in our world. And so what must the position of the believer be amidst all of this trouble? I can tell you where it is. Believe in God. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus emphasized this to the disciples. And He's sharing it and emphasizing it with us. There's a lot happening in the world that is disturbing, but don't be troubled by it. Why? Because I believe in God. Jesus, who is that manifestation of God. I believe in Him. Isaiah in the Old Testament says, "Don't you know who this is that you believe in? Have you not heard? Do you not know who this God is? Has it not registered with you? Is it just a word you've used, a common edit or statement to identify oneself with Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, but totally you never got the idea that this is the only God, listen, the one who has all power in His hands, the one who is in absolute control of everything we see and do, and completely, I want you to know this, the world is on schedule. Our faith through Jesus gives us power over the world. And it doesn't allow the world and its trouble to have power over us. You see, if the world has power over you, you'll be afraid, fearful even. But because of Jesus, we have power over the world. And so, as we experience and we are exposed to this trouble, what do we do with it? How do we articulate it? How do we go away even today understanding this trouble? We have power over it in Christ. And as trouble continues to make its way to our doorpost, because of that reality, that we have power over it through the risen Savior, we're not troubled because of what we read and what we see. And if there's any group of people on earth that should not be troubled, it is believers. Are y'all with that? If there's anyone that ought to know where we are in the earth, it's believers. Matthew 24 is another verse that confirms it. And it's interesting, Jesus is speaking at the Mount of Olives to his disciples, and powerfully he's talking about the end times. He's talking about things that will happen and will take place. These things have been spoken of. They're biblical. And so Jesus reminds his disciples not to be troubled by him. And in verse 6 of chapter 24, he says to them, "Do not be troubled. These things must take place." John 16:33 says, "In this world, you and I will have trouble. But take heart. You missed it. But take heart. Don't worry about it. But take heart. I gotcha. But take heart. Dance a little bit. But take heart. Be encouraged. But take heart. You're exactly where I want you. But take heart. I'm in control of it. But take heart. But take heart. Take heart. I have overcome your trouble." Yes. I say that in light of impending further trouble on the front. I say that, I so want the believer to get this morning as I get to my closing, is that the reality of this trouble may be with us for a while. And we've got to position ourselves in such a place where we understand biblically that because we have trouble, it doesn't mean I'll lose sleep tonight. No. It doesn't mean I'll stop serving. It doesn't mean we'll stop loving our neighbor. It doesn't mean we'll stop proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. It doesn't mean that, no. It means that the trouble that I can't handle, he can. That's what that means. Yeah. Amen. That's what it means. That's what it means. Yeah, we're in trouble, but I'm not troubled by it. Not because I'm just tough. No, but because I know a Savior. I know the only Savior who has dealt with my trouble and your trouble and the troubles of the world that you read about every day. And let me tell you something. I started this journey with Jesus a long time ago. And there is no trouble that will remove me from this. I'm going all the way. I hope you do too. I'm just telling you. I'm just letting you know that this thing is exactly the way God has scripted it out. And I've read it, I've studied it. I'm just telling you, you ought to be excited about it because he knows what he's talking about. He knows. Yes, right, he knows. This is where we're supposed to be. So if you don't understand the scriptures and you don't get into the book, you will be petrified when you turn CNN on and you see these horrible calamities all over the world. But I want you to know this morning, Eagles Landing. God almighty. I'll end it like this. I'm in no trouble. You are in no trouble that God has not and will not get us out of. After hearing that, I can go eat me a burger or something. I mean, holy cow, man. I mean, you know, all that stuff, I really can't. That encourages my soul. And you know, ultimately, Jesus did that. He comforted those disciples. He put his arms around them and said, hang on, I know that sounds really scary. I know I scared you to death. I know you read what you read. I know you saw it. I know, I get it. But come here. I want you to know I've got it all. I've got it all. Go on with your life. Live for Jesus, as Pastor Tim often ends our services. Live for Jesus. That's what we ought to be doing. Living for Jesus, loving Jesus, sharing Jesus in a troubled world. But the difference in the believer and the non-believer, which is why we put this gospel out, is so that the non-believer can come to understand the truth. We understand that we are in trouble, but the difference between you and I is that I'm not troubled. I've got to go play baseball with my son. I've got to go to the park. And you're at home worrying about all of the world's affairs, and you're troubled with this stuff, and you can't stand it. You're in the doctor's office, your heart's about to blow up, and you're going through all these different things. You don't like anybody, and you're scared to leave the house because you're worried about somebody. No! And for the believer, and we got to get with the work of God continuously. Doing our family business, doing our thing with the Lord, and being an example to the world that we tried to tell you the first time, world. Amen. We've been trying to tell you this. You're panicking for no reason. So I thank God this morning for every believer in this building, for your salvation, for the gospel that you love, for the Savior that loves you, and the reality of the promises of his word, and the truth that abides in all of us. Leave Eagles Langley today fearlessly, courageously. Shoot. Even, I'll just say it like this, even the worst happening to me or to you, loss of life, loss of things, he's going to even deliver me from that trouble. There is no trouble in this life that our Savior won't deliver you and me from. You know why? Because on a long, long years ago, I prayed a prayer. God, forgive me of my sin. Receive me. Accept me. Make me your own. And through that prayer, trouble in this world.